Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Gospel of Matthew. If you don't know where Matthew is in your Bible, just put it away. Just look at the wall. We'll help you out. Here is a great opportunity to support Kingdom Builder Sunday School. How many of you love Sunday School? I love it. I still have Sunday school teachers that taught little old me in Sunday school that are right here in this building today, and I love them. Sister Lita, are you here? Were you here in the first service? I think she's here in the first service. She was my Sunday school teacher. I'm a product of Sunday school. I love Sunday school. And we have Brother Ivan Blacksmith and his entire crew, Ms. Aquila, Sister Wanda. All of their teachers do such a great job. I was over there 2 weeks ago. They're having a fundraiser, and any ministry that does a fundraiser, all of those funds are going right back into ministry to make it bigger, to make it better. And so this Friday night, fun and games at Main Event out here on 1604 by 281, $20 per person for 4 hours from 6:30 to 10:30 gets all the video games you can play, gravity ropes, all the bowling, shoes included. That's worth $20 there. Billiards, that's shoot and pool for those of you that are not as sophisticated. And laser tag, activities and arcade games, $20 per person. Make it a family night. Support the ministry. You can sign up for this event until Wednesday, and they'll be right in the main lobby as you leave today. And it would be a great way for you to enjoy your family, enjoy a faith-filled environment with your friends, and also add to the kingdom of God. And so we thank KBSS, Kingdom Builders, and we want you to get involved in what they're doing. Everybody say amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, this is Jesus teaching. I'm teaching Tyler homeschool, and we were doing our Bible segment this week, and we were studying for a test, and I said, Tyler, Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 13, what are those commonly referred to? And he said, the Beatitudes. I said, the what? He said, the Beatitudes. I said, it is the Beatitudes. Oh, okay, I never heard that. The Beatitudes. Get a shirt that says the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell not, praise God, because it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who's built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. This is part two of the subject, Faith Foundations. Faith Foundations. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm building my foundation. You may be seated. 85-year-old man that was having some medical issues, was depressed, was very saddened with the state of his health, went to the doctor, and the doctor gave him a full battery of tests and told him some things he needed to do to prolong his life and to bring healing to his life. And so this 85-year-old man left his office with the instructions from the doctor. And 3 days later, the doctor just happened to be walking down Main Street, and there the 85-year-old man was there with a 25-year-old young lady on his arm, big smile on his face. The doctor went and said, what are you doing? You're 85, she's 25. He said, Doc, I'm doing exactly what you said. I got a hot mama, and I'm cheerful. He said, I didn't say get a hot mama and be cheerful. I said, you got a heart murmur, be careful. And evidently, you're hard of hearing too. We need to get you some hearing aids. That has nothing to do with what I'm going to preach. I just hadn't told that joke in a long time. How many of you own a house? Just raise your hand. Or maybe you rent a house, you live in a house. How many of you have ever had a house that the foundation shifted and doors didn't work like they should? Or cracks formed from the door corners to the roof or to the ceiling. There's two ways to fix those problems. You can fix the foundation, which is the reason for the cracks, Or you can just get some spackle and just spackle over the cracks as if nothing is different. You can take your door off and sand a little off the door so it closes properly, or you can deal with the foundation and the source of all of your problems. You show me someone who's blessed, and I will point back to their foundation. You show me somebody who is living a terrible life, and I will show you a bad foundation. It all comes down to what foundation have we built. The foundation is the least appealing part of a building. Doesn't look good. It never looks good. I just sold a house in New Braunfels, and New Braunfels is kind of like the start of the hill country. And so on one side of my house, there was about 6 or 7 feet of foundation visible because of the hill and the hill-like area that I was in. And there was no way to dress up the look of that foundation. Little Jaden tried when she was 6, 7 years old out there with chalk, and I made her go wash all that off. But there's no way to make your foundation look appealing. Everybody loves to talk about the stonework and loves to talk about the doors and the paint and the open floor plan and what type of roof you put on and all of these types of things. But no one walks by your house and says, man, that's a good foundation. But most people don't realize that you cannot get to the great part of life until you have built a firm foundation. Until you have taken the time to make sure that in the area I'm building in, is this where I'm supposed to build in? And I need to make sure that the foundation that I'm building goes deep enough and is strong enough to build what God is calling me to build. Man, Pastor Mandy preached an amazing word on Friday night about abiding in Jesus. Pastor Becky followed it up talking about being the true vine and that we are the branches. And I love that because God just began to open some things in my life. And he said, Brandon, he said, you know what's responsible for the fruit to come on the vine? It's not the vine, but it is the branch. Because the branch takes what comes from the source and puts it out at the end of that branch to produce fruit. You show me somebody's life that is void of fruit, and I will show you somebody that has no foundation. Because when you talk about foundation, you're talking about planting yourself. Can I talk to somebody that's thinking about leaving your marriage? Can I encourage you? Plant yourself. Can I talk to I knew I wouldn't get a lot of amens right there, because if you're facing that, you're not wanting to hear that. But I'm not Dr. Phil. I'm a gospel preacher. If you're thinking about leaving this church, can I encourage you, plant yourself. Get yourself a foundation. Why? Because it's going to take you a long time to build the foundation again for what God is wanting to build on top of you. And I shared in the first session, there's a lot of things that God is wanting to do on us, but he cannot do them on us because we have not gone to the point to build the foundation that is necessary for God to do what only God can do. And sometimes our prayers frustrate us because we are praying for something that God said, if I give that to you, you're not ready for it. Your foundation won't hold it, and it will all crumble and fall. So it is my point. It is my issue. It is your issue to make sure that we are building a foundation for God to work on. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you go beyond the English translation and we go to the Greek and the Hebrew, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It says now faith is a platform. When we talk about platforms or stages, we talk about somebody getting on that platform to perform or to minister, whatever it may be. And so we built this platform because we knew there was going to be a praise team. We knew that there was going to be men and women that would stand behind this pulpit and speak. And so we built the platform because we expected somebody to stand up here or somebody to stand up here and do something or say something. When you build a foundation of faith, what you are saying is I'm building a platform because there's an expectation that Jesus is going to show up and stand on the platform of my life. That's good preaching right there. I thought I'd get a better amen. That I'm building a platform for Jesus to step out of heaven and firmly onto the platform and foundation of faith that I've created, because he's getting ready to speak something and he's getting ready to do something. If God is not speaking, perhaps there is no faith foundation or platform that has been built. If God has not shown up to perform the promises that he said are yes and amen, could it be that we have not gone to the point to build the thing that he is going to stand on to produce the promise? Everybody wants to talk about how many bedrooms and how many bathrooms. Nobody wants to talk about the foundation. Realize the higher you want to go in God, the deeper your foundation must run. The higher you want to go in God, if you're going to go 3 or 4 stories high, you're going to have to go deeper than most people. And so do not get in competition with everybody else. They might not be building as big as you. They might not be expecting as much as you're expecting. And so if somebody starts building and starts pouring their foundation and starts building their foundation the same week that you do, it is not a competition, because I don't know what God has called them to build. I don't know if their faith is on the same level as mine or mine on theirs. And so every morning I'm not looking to the left or right. I'm looking at Brandon's foundation. Is this big enough? Is it strong enough for what God has called me to build? Somebody say amen. If you're going to build anything of value, you must have a strong foundation. You say, what is the foundation begin with? The foundation that we are to build begins with the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Matthew 16, verse 16. You are Christ, Son of the living God. He said, on this rock, not on a man, but on the revelation that Simon Peter had, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What he's saying is when you have the revelation of who Jesus Christ is as your foundation, he didn't say that hell wouldn't come against you. He said that when hell comes against you, it shall not work. It didn't say that you wouldn't have sickness come against you. It says that sickness can't stay. It says that you would not have problems, but problems are not going to be able to crack your foundation, to come against your foundation. And so I'm glad that 18 years ago I found out who Jesus really is, that he's not a political figure, he's not a man on a cross, on a symbol, but he is the Son of God. He is the only way to get to heaven. And if I will build my foundation on the revelation of who Jesus is, Jesus Christ should be the foundation for everything in our lives. Jesus should not just be included in what we would call spiritual decisions. Jesus should be included on where you're going to work, what school you're going to choose after high school. Jesus should be brought into the decisions, what stocks to buy, what stocks not to buy, what investments you need to make, what investments you don't need to make. Jesus should be brought into the decision on who you're going to marry. Not your mother, not your father first, Jesus. Sometimes you can't introduce him to mom yet because Jesus said no from the very onset. Jesus should be brought into how we raise our kids. Jesus should be brought into who we vote for. Jesus should, come on now, Jesus should be brought into every decision that we will ever make. When we're talking about foundations, there's 4 things that we have to understand that are important when we talk about building our foundation in Jesus. Number one, where you build. See, some of us are building, and we've taken out loans and mortgages, and we're building spiritually in places that we were never called to build in. Matthew 7:24, Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Psalm 23, verse 5, David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. David was able to discern where he was supposed to walk and where he was supposed to build. Don't build where you're supposed to walk. Don't just walk past where you're supposed to build. The nation of Israel lived in tents for 40 years in the wilderness because they knew this was a place of transition. It wasn't a place of habitation. Some of us are trying to live in the place of transition, and we're trying to move through the place of habitation. We've got to have enough discernment that when we're walking in faith, God says right there is where you're supposed to build. That's why when I meet first-time guests out in the lobby and they tell me they're new to town and Living Way's the first church that they visited, I don't tell them, well, this needs to be the last church you need to visit. You found home and you need to join the church next Sunday. I just tell them, I encourage them, if you'll prayerfully talk to God about where you're supposed to go to church, God will lead you to the right church. Get planted in that church, begin to build a foundation in that church, serve in that church, support that pastor and that leadership team. Why? Because I don't want them to build a foundation at Living Way if Living Way's not where God called them to be. Because it's counterproductive for them and us. Because if they're someplace they're not supposed to be, they're going to get frustrated. If they get frustrated, they're not going to be the kind of Living Way member that they need to be. And if they're not the kind of Living Way member that they need to be, I get frustrated. And then we've got them being frustrated, me being frustrated. Why? Because they chose to build a foundation where they had no sense building a foundation. You know why marriages end, 52% of them end in divorce? Not because they had problems. It's because they married people they should have never married. You know why the woman at the well had five husbands and was shacking up with the sixth loser? It's because she had married people she wasn't even supposed to go out on a second date with. And began to build a foundation with people that she wasn't even supposed to have in her life, let alone come into covenant with. Can I encourage you that you better get the Holy Ghost working on the inside of you so that when God leads you out on your faith walk or your faith journey, when He says this is where you're to build, you can say, God, but I don't see anybody and I don't see any resources. It doesn't matter. This is where I've called you to build, and I expect you to build here. And if you will build me a platform, everything you need. If you need a mate, I'll bring the mate to the platform. If you need money, I'll bring money to the platform. I just need somebody to build me a foundation where I tell them to build it. One of the greatest pieces of advice Bishop gave me when I started buying real estate, flipping real estate, is something that we've done with the church. It's something that he's done personally and I do, is we absolutely will not buy any property where any of it is in the floodplain. Because I don't know if you know this or not, we don't have blizzards down here. We're too far inland for hurricanes. We're too far south for many tornadoes. We don't get a lot of earthquakes down here. But one thing San Antonio does have is flooding. Because we'll go 8 months without any rain, and then we get 2 years of rain in 8 hours. And isn't it amazing that what they called a 100-year flood happened in 1998 and in 2002? My math might not be the greatest, but that's 4 years, not 100. Then they have another flood, and they call that a 500-year flood. You know nobody was keeping records 500 years ago. How can you tell me that? And so we don't buy property that's in a floodplain. Listen to why. Not because it will flood maybe once every 5, 10, 15, 20 years, because we're looking down the road and it might not always be used for farmland or ranch land. We might want to subdivide it and build houses. We might want to subdivide it and sell it to commercial so that they can build Chick-fil-A's and Starbucks and Chipotle. And there are certain areas that they will not allow you to build in. And so when we talk about where you're building your foundation, there are certain places where God says, don't go there. And then some of us are so stubborn, we not only go there, we say, man, this looks like a good place for a house. This looks like a good place for me to raise a family, for me to try to stay married. And we start pouring piers, and we start building a foundation. My heart goes out to people that lose their homes in floods, but they have the choice. Legally in the state of Texas, they're supposed to tell you whether you are in or out of a floodplain. But even if they legally tell you it's a 100-year flood, and guess what, a 500-year flood comes out, they're not responsible. It is you, because you're the one who made the decision Now check this out. If a property is so cheap that it seems too good to be true, it usually is. Why? Because it's in a place that you're not supposed to build in. I'm talking to somebody today, and I'm going to encourage you that though it costs more today for me to build in the right place, I want to make sure that I'm putting my feet down and I'm building a foundation that is not going to stand for 2 years or two decades, but should the Lord tarry, my great, 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 great grandchildren will live on the same foundation that I have built. It may cost me something today, but whatever it costs me today, God will make up along the way. Don't go the cheap route. Go the God route. Go the faith route. The cheap route doesn't take faith. Faith says, I don't know how I'm going to get that done. I don't know how I can build that foundation. God, you're calling me to build this, and this is what you've given me. God said, I've given you that as a seed. I need you to step out in faith. I need you to go where I've called you to go, and I need you to begin to build a foundation and a platform. I forget the exact numbers. Bishop came with just a few thousand dollars to Texas, South Texas, from East Texas. Put all of that money that he had, personal money that he had, on the 2 acres that splits the Family Life Center down, right down the middle. That money wouldn't pay a mortgage payment on the building we're sitting in today. Let me say that again. That money he came to town with wouldn't pay a mortgage, 1 month of mortgage payment for this building we're in. But what it did was, is it put him in a place of faith where God said, I want you to build on the busiest freeway in North America. I know it's not happening now, but Steve, in 2018, 250,000 people are going to pass by that every day. I'm going to build you a 5,000-seat auditorium, but I need you to do what you can with what you have in your hand right now. Can I speak to somebody's faith today? What you're holding is not enough for you to live today, but it is enough to start a foundation that God is going to be able to stand on, that God is going to be able to work on. In 2018, it might not seem like much. All right. 2028, 38, 48, you're going to have something. You're going to build something. And what happened in those 2 acres has given birth to 40 acres and 18 buildings and thousands of people and thousands that have come through here to receive Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost, all because someone said, God, if you show me where, I'll build a foundation. Show me where, and I'll start digging. Show me where, and I'll start pouring. Show me a place, God, and I'll build you a foundation. I'll build you a place, God, for you to work on me, for you to build something on me. Never put down roots where God has called you to just walk. Doesn't matter how great a structure you build if you build it in the wrong place. I bought a few acres out here in Seguin, 22 acres, and I built some buildings on it, getting ready to break ground on a house out there. And my building, where I'm building my house, it's at a nice high spot. But there's a low spot. It flows like this. And the low spot between two tanks that I got, two ponds that I got, when it rains like it has the last 3 or 4 weeks, it gets kind of marshy. And I walked through there to check on my horses the other day. And you know one thing about that marsh is it begins to stink. I got eaten up by mosquitoes. And it's the only place where there's a lot of trees. So by looking at it, I want my house where the trees are. But I knew I couldn't build there because it gets marshy. It stinks. And the mosquitoes are down there. You don't have to build where the trees are. You can plant trees wherever you build. So you can either go where it's easy, or you can let faith navigate the difficult roads of life and say, I'm building something that I'm going to be able to stand on myself in times of trouble. I'm building faith that is not going to have to make me call the pastor every time I get bad news. I'm building something in faith that I'm not going to have Sister Rachel sing me happy. I'm building a place of faith where I'm not going to have to listen to a Stephen Furtick podcast. I'm building a platform of faith that when nobody else is around, I can stand on that faith and say, God, this is what I need you to do. I went where you called me. me to go. I built what you've called me to build. Now build something on me. Turn to your neighbor and tell them faith foundations. Ask them, what are you building? That's number two. First one is where you build. Number two is what you build. What materials are you using? Are you using materials that have been tested and rated for the type of building God has called you to build? Bishop and I have built a lot of fence, a lot of wooden fence, and we use what they call quickcrete. Anybody know what quickcrete is? You can buy it for $2 or $3 a bag, 80-pound bag down here at Home Depot. You add a little water to it, you stir it around, and it's concrete. However, I wouldn't build a building for that. I wouldn't build a foundation out of that. That's little jobs. But when I go to build buildings, I've got to call on somebody that knows what they're doing. Because if I built my foundation out of the resources that I have now, it would not stand. We wouldn't even have to have Hurricane Harvey. We could have just a little drizzle, and that thing would begin to crack. That thing would begin to break off. It matters what you're building. When we talk about the things of God, we need to give God our best effort. Don't give the world your best and then give God what's left over. God deserves your best. I've shared this with our leadership team. God comes first in all of our lives, but God had to speak to me a few years ago, and he said, Brandon, make sure that when you talk about ministry and your family, make sure your family gets the best of you and not the rest of you. And a lot of us are giving our best to the world or our best to other people or our best even to ourselves, and we give the rest to God, but that's not how it should be. Matthew 6:33 says, when God is our top priority and we seek him and his kingdom first, all these things will be added, meaning this, if when I come to God and I say, God, this is where you've called me to build, but I don't have the resources. He says, because you came to me first, I'm going to make sure that you have all the resources you need to build what I've called you to build. Can I help somebody today? You looked and took inventory of your life even this week and you said, I don't have enough to do that. I looked in my bank account and I don't have enough money to do that. That's just where God does his best work, because when you have nothing, God is up to something. When you don't have anything left is when God does his best work. He did it with the widow woman. He did it with the woman that gave the two mites. God does his best work when it doesn't seem like you have enough left. And when you say, God, I don't have enough, but I'm here at the right place at the right time and I'm ready to work, God will open up the resources. We'll open up the resources. It's amazing when you're in the will of God, how God just sends you things, sends you people, sends you money, sends you resources. Just in the last few months, people have given me things. Just random things that you'd need on a farm. Gave me 55 gallons of diesel. Gave me horse trailers. Gave me livestock. And I say, God, you are so good. Why me? And he said, you're in the right place. At the right time. Doing the right thing. You've built me a foundation. And then my little mind begins to run and say, God, if you can give me a horse trailer, you can give me a house. God, if you can give me a house, you can give me a skyscraper. God, if you can give me a house, you can give me the Alamo Dome. You said, that's crazy. That's crazy faith that I'm building a foundation for. I'm not there yet. Right now, my foundation is horse trailers, it's bulls, it's livestock, it's 55 gallons of diesel, but my platform's getting stronger. My platform's getting bigger. I'm using the right resources, and I'm saying, God, all right, Monday's a perfect time. It's a little stronger than it was this time last Monday. It's a little stronger than it was this time in 2017. I built you a platform. I preached a little bit of this last week at 9 a.m. And John Rodriguez, who works with concrete, he met me and said, oh, Pastor, he said, I love that word. He said, if you ever preach it again, he said, let me tell you something about concrete that you might not know. He said, concrete never fully cures, meaning this, that it gets harder every day for the rest of its existence. That I've tried to bust some old concrete. It's tough. It doesn't break very easy. You get that jackhammer out, you jackhammer yourself more than you do the rock. And man, what a testimony. My foundation of faith is harder and stronger today than it was this time last year. My faith is stronger today. You say, Pastor, how is that possible? I've gone through Bishop's accident 5 years ago. I've walked some valleys with Mandy's health. I've walked some valleys with my kids' health. I've walked some poverty valleys, and I've seen God never forsaken the righteous. And so I am here as a living testimony to say I'm stronger than I've ever been, but I'm stronger than I've ever been because the foundation of faith that I've built is stronger than it's ever been. Man, between services, I was listening to Jesse Duplantis between services. Man, that guy's just full of faith, just telling story after story after story. And I just said, God, you don't love Jesse anymore than you love Brandon. He said, that's exactly right. He said, his foundation of faith is just bigger than yours. That doesn't mess me up. It excites me because it's up to me to build my faith. It's up to me to get in this book, to get in the Word of God. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, is the chief cornerstone. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. David wrote in Psalm 118, 22, the stone which the builders refused, they rejected it. It became the cornerstone, the headstone. Luke again talks about this in Acts chapter 4, verse 11. This is the stone that was set at naught. It was set to the side by the builders, which has become the head of the corner. You know what I love about what Luke says here and what David said here is it was not up to God that the stone be laid. It was up to the builder. We're the builder. God gave us every resource we need. We just have to put them together. We'll get there maybe next week or next time I speak on this, that God calls us in 1 Corinthians the master builder. That means we're not a novice. We're masterful at what we do. Building a foundation. I'm not leaving Jesus out. If I leave anybody out, I'll leave one of you out before I leave Jesus out. Say, man, that's mean. No. I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus trumps all. Jesus overrides all. There's no way I'm trying to be married without Jesus. There's no way I'm raising two kids without Jesus. There's no way that I'm going to lead a ministry without Jesus. There's no way that I'm going to invest tens of thousands of dollars in an investment without Jesus. There's no way, who am I kidding? There's no way I'm leaving my house in the morning without Jesus. There's no way I'm going to a doctor's appointment without Jesus. I'm not sitting down with an attorney, a lawyer, or a counselor without Jesus. I'm not going to reject him. I'm not setting him to the side. He is not a part of the equation. He is the equation. Jesus is the answer. Stand on your feet. Cornerstone, headstone. Jesus. You ever see a so-called preacher stutter and talk around the question on Fox or CNN? They do that because they set Jesus to the side because he's offensive. If I ever get the opportunity, God, let them put a microphone in my face. It's going to be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What do you think about this social issue? Well, this is what God's word said. This is what Jesus did. Do it in love, but it's going to be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I cannot have him a part of my life. He is my life. He is my foundation. What I build, where I build, how I build, all of those things come down to what I do with this Jesus. I've been to some so-called church services that never mention his name. The master builders have set him to the side. Will never happen here at Living Way. As long as I have breath in my body, we'll be talking about Jesus. I can't have church without Jesus. I can't sing a worship song not thinking about Jesus. He's my foundation. I want to encourage somebody today before we open this altar up. I want to encourage everybody to look within themselves and just ask the question, is the foundation of faith that I built, is it big enough? Is it strong enough that when I need it, Will it be strong enough to carry the weight that God is going to put on me and in me? I see so many people that are asking for such great things from God with no foundation. So God's choice in those moments is what I give them will crush them and injure them, or I'll withhold it from them. Then God ends up being the bad guy because he didn't give them what they asked for. God is a merciful God. He's a good God. And God would never do anything to you or I that would hurt us. So a lot of times God withholds that because he says your foundation just isn't where it needs to be. If you're in this house today and your foundation needs strengthening, your foundation of faith needs to be fortified, I need you to step out of your seat and I need you to join this young lady in the altar. I need you to join us in this moment. Of all the people I know in the world, I didn't even know you're here, Sister Chris. I didn't know you.